Hey everyone out there in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. Have you ever stopped to think about, where all the fresh food at our local food banks and school cafeterias actually comes from? Like, how does it get there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's kind of something we take for granted, right? But the truth is, the system that brings all that fresh food to our tables is going through some pretty big changes right now.
For sure. And that's exactly what we're going to dig into today in this deep dive.
That's right. We're going to be looking specifically at how local farmers play a role in supplying these food programs and what happens when the support for those programs, well, changes.
Right.
And we've got some really interesting reporting from theadvocate.com out of Louisiana. Gives us a kind of a firsthand look at what farmers are saying about the end of some USDA programs, some federal initiatives that have been, pretty important to them.
Gotcha. So our mission today then is to really grasp what those changes mean, like how they ripple out and affect the whole food system. And because even though the reporting is from Louisiana, these programs were nationwide, and they could have impacts a lot closer to home than we think.
Absolutely.
And of course, we'll be focusing on the farmers themselves, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are on the front lines producing the food that nourishes our community.
Right.
So let's jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about these USDA programs that are changing? What exactly were they?
Okay, so there are two main programs that we're talking about. One is called the Local Food for Schools program. Pretty self-explanatory, right? And the other one is the Local Food Purchase Assistance Cooperative Agreement. We'll call it LFPA for short. Basically, they're both designed to connect local farmers with schools and food banks,
Okay.
trying to help the farmers have a reliable market for their products and making sure that the schools and food banks have a steady source of fresh local food.
Makes sense. And it sounds like these programs were pretty big too, from what I was reading in the article. Like, they had some pretty significant funding, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nationally, we're talking about $1 billion, roughly, going towards these programs. Just to give you an idea of the scale, food banks in Louisiana alone got around $13 million this year from these initiatives. And you've got organizations like Second Harvest Food Bank and Lafayette. They actually used about $6 million over 2 years to buy directly from farmers in their area, the Acadiana region.
Wow. $6 million going straight to local farmers. That's going to make a real difference in their bottom line, huh? And did these programs benefit only the big farms or, like the smaller operations too?
No, definitely not just the big guys. In 2023, the LFPA paid out $837 million to over 10,900 farmers across the country. And even in Louisiana, a smaller state, we're talking about 40 different farms who are participating in sending their produce to food banks in every single parish in the state. So, it's pretty widespread.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. What about the school program? How big was that in Louisiana?
Well, so up to December 9th of this year, they'd already spent about $3.4 million on local farm food going into schools.
Wow.
And we actually know which school districts were, really embracing this. The top buyer was the Ascension Parish School Board. They spent over $269,000 between 2023 and 2024. Lafayette Parish came in third at almost $158,000.
Wow, that's amazing. So it sounds like these programs were kind of woven into how food banks and schools were getting their food. Fresh local ingredients, it's got to be causing a lot of uncertainty, right? Like now that the funding has changed, what's the immediate impact of
Yeah.
these changes?
Yeah, it's definitely causing uncertainty. And you're right, there are pathways that are now closed. The USDA is saying that they're not going to give out any new funding,
Okay.
but they will finish up any agreements they already have.
Okay.
But of course, that's a problem for the farmers who really depended on this income.
Right.
And the food banks and schools that depended on this supply, they all made investments and plans based on this idea that these programs would keep going.
Right. Makes sense. And I know the article really brings this to life with a story about two farmers, Betty and John Chenier in Opelousas. Can you tell us a bit about them and how this is affecting them personally?
Yeah, their story is a great example. These programs were a really big deal for them. We're talking at least half of their business, maybe even more.
Wow.
And because those programs were so reliable, they felt confident about making big investments and, long-term plans for their farm.
I remember reading that they built a home for one of their workers, and what was it? They added greenhouses, right?
Yes, exactly. They added two greenhouses.
So they could grow more.
Right. They wanted to extend their growing season so they could supply the programs with produce, even in the fall and winter.
Yeah.
And yeah, They had a 4-year partnership with Second Harvest Food Bank and had been part of the LFPA for 2 years.
Hmm.
Their contract was supposed to run until 2027. So this wasn't, you know, just a temporary thing for them. This was their livelihood.
Right. And now what are they most worried about?
Well, John Chaniere says it best himself.
Yeah.
He basically said they don't know if they can stay in business. Like,
yeah,
they might not be able to make a living anymore. Everything's getting more expensive, you know, the cost of farming.
Right.
And before they had a guarantee that they'd sell what they grew, now they don't have that anymore.
Right.
They've even had to cut back on how much they're planting this year because they just don't know what the market's going to be like. And John's 70 years old.
Wow.
So he's even thinking maybe they just have to retire now because the safety net they had is just gone.
That's really tough. I remember reading that quote from John. It was something like, "We can't afford to make a living with it. Everything was going up and we were guaranteed that we was going to sell our produce. Now we don't have that guarantee anymore." It's just like a real punch in the gut, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just some policy change on paper. It's real people's lives being affected.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know this isn't just about the folks growing fruits and vegetables. The article talks about Chip Perrin too, right? He processes beef and he's also a rancher in Eunice. His story shows how these programs actually created a kind of ripple effect, helping out the whole local food chain.
That's a great point. His story is really important. He got into the program through Second Harvest about a year ago, and it totally changed his business.
Really?
He was processing something like 7,000 pounds of beef every week for food banks and 10,000 pounds for schools.
Oh.
And get this, he was also processing cattle from about 30 other ranchers in the area that were in the program too. So it created this whole network.
Wow, that's a lot of beef. His business must have really taken off.
It did. He was able to expand and hire more people. And there's this one part of the article where he talks about going to a school that was getting his beef, and he talks about how proud he was to help make sure the kids weren't going hungry. So, you know, it wasn't just about the money. It was about being part of the community, too.
That's awesome. And then when the programs changed, what happened?
It was like someone just flipped a switch, he said.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he lost a huge chunk of business.
Right.
We're talking 40,000 pounds of beef a week that's not going through his plant anymore. So he's having to rethink his whole operation, and sadly, he even had to lay off some of his workers. He really believes that these programs were working. You know, they were helping farmers, and they were making a difference in people's lives.
It's like what we were saying before about how interconnected everything is. It's not just one farmer or one business. It's a chain reaction, right? Like, it goes from the farmer to the processor and then to the people they employ.
Exactly. And to kind of get a broader perspective on how this is all playing out,
yeah,
for the organizations that are actually distributing the food, the article also talks to Paul Selfo, who's the regional director for Second Harvest Food Bank.
Right. What did he have to say about the program changes? What were his big concerns?
Well, he was pretty worried, especially for the smaller food pantries, the ones in the rural areas. They really rely on the food bank. And he said that losing this funding is definitely not a good thing for them. They're going to struggle to keep helping people in need.
Right.
But, you know, even with all this, they're not giving up. They're looking for other ways to fund their programs and to keep working with local farmers. But he was also really clear about how important those USDA programs were in tackling the problem of food insecurity in Louisiana.
Yeah, those numbers in the article about food insecurity, they were pretty alarming.
Yeah, they're really tough to see.
Yeah.
1 in 7 people in Louisiana don't have enough to eat. And in most of the parishes, 46 out of 64, the rate is even higher, like over 15%.
Wow.
So, you know, Selfo's worried that things are going to get even worse, especially in the rural areas where it's already hard to get fresh, affordable food.
Yeah, he really emphasized how vital the LFPA funding was, especially when it came to getting fresh produce to people. And
yeah,
that's such an important part of a healthy diet.
For sure. He said that the amount of fresh food they were able to give out because of the LFPA was like something they'd never seen before. He was talking about how much of a positive impact it had.
Right.
It wasn't just about giving people enough to eat. It was about giving them healthy, local food that could really improve their lives.
So it sounds like things are changing in a big way, and maybe not for the better. We've got Louisiana farmers who were counting on this income facing an uncertain future.
Yeah.
We've got beef processors who had to lay off workers after expanding their businesses.
Right.
And we've got food banks and schools trying to figure out how to keep helping the people in their communities.
Exactly. And, you know, it really makes you think. Here in Deer Park, LaPorte in Pasadena about how our own local food system works.
Right.
Because these were national programs. Even though the reporting's from Louisiana, similar things could be happening right here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder what might be coming down the pike for our own farmers and food organizations. It's definitely something for all of us to consider. And I know, like with these federal programs winding down, it makes you wonder what we can do locally. What new ideas can we come up with to support our farmers here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena?
Right.
To make sure everyone has access to good food. Maybe this is a chance to really focus on building a stronger, more resilient local food system.
Yeah.
Right here in our own backyard.
For sure.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. But for those of you listening in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena, we hope you found this information valuable and relevant to your lives here in our community. And hey, if you like what you hear and you want to support our work, you can always donate at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. We've got the link in the show notes.
That's right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.